Praise the Lord, everybody. So great to be in the house of the Lord. I won't take long, only if you'll help me tonight. If we could turn our Bibles to John 6, and we'll start at verse 26. And while you're there, while you're getting there, I'd like to give honor where honor is due and thank Pastor for this opportunity and our First Lady to this wonderful congregation for supporting our pastor and being there and being his supporter. I want to give honor to my wife, who's always an encourager, who's always there. Anybody love her singing? Amen. And to my parents, I don't know where I would be without them. Keeping me in this truth and keeping my walk straight. If you're there, say amen or shout amen. If you're looking at the screen, say I'm a cheater. Got some honest folks in the place. If you don't have a Bible, see Pastor and he'll make sure you have one. But the scripture reads like this. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for whom hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do? What might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." In verse 30, they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us thee this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." If we can drop down to verse 53. Reads like this. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." For just a few moments, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to speak to you on this simple topic: starving while in the garden. Starving while in the garden. If we can lay our Bibles down and close our eyes and lift our hands towards heaven as Pastor prays. Seated. Have you ever been hungry? We all have been hungry. I mean, like, really hungry. If you ever been super hungry, then you know how tough it can be to stomach that discomfort. Hunger is a very powerful desire. It's one of our body's strongest inner drives, which is no doubt due to the fact that our minds are programmed to know that food is essential to life. The desire for food can, in fact, be strong enough to deceive us and warp our perceptions. Scientists have studied and they have come up with that a human can only live longer than a week without food or water. In Matthew 25 and verse 35, it reads, "For I was and hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in." Who's thankful we serve the Almighty One who gave us meat when we were hungry, and he gave us water when we were thirsty, and he took us under his wings when we were lost and a stranger, and he still took us in. My God is so loving, and he's so caring. He doesn't care about your past mistakes or what you've done. He's here with his arms open wide. I got to tell someone today that the business of this church is souls. Can I get an amen? The business of this church is souls. I want to pursue in what God has commanded us to do. It's not time to get lazy. I know you believe in the rapture of the church. I know you believe in the trumpet is going to sound, and I know that you believe it couldn't be long until that great event takes place. We are truly living in the last days. We truly are. It's not time to get lazy. It's time to be productive. It's time to be a part of our Father's business. We should want to win as many souls as we can. Can I tell you that when the trumpet sounds, this beautiful building we're in today isn't going to be with us in the rapture, isn't going to go up. That padded seat that you're sitting in isn't going to go up with you. That great keyboard that we heard from Brother Joe and that bass that we heard played from Brother Jediah isn't going to go up with us during the rapture. This sound system and all of our high-tech toys, none of it is going to go with us up in the rapture, but souls are going to go with us. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." If you want your life to count, if you want the time that you spent to have eternal value attached to it, then you're going to have to invest your time in some souls. We come into this church, God's house, but we still leave starving. We come into this place weekly, but we come just because it's our routine. We've been coming to church all of our lives. 6 o'clock comes, we're waking up, getting ready for church to be here and worship the Lord on Sunday, but some of us just come here and just sit on a pew. They just come because it's a normal, because that's what they've been taught their whole life, just to come to church. Some of us in this room have been raised in this our whole life. But I'm here to tell someone to get out of that routine and get a hold of Jesus. Get a hold of the Creator. He's the bread of life. There is no one else like him, and there will never be anyone else like him. There was an apostolic preacher in St. Louis. He came home from teaching a Bible study one night, and his little girl ran across the room and threw her arms around his neck and had no more embraced her dad. Then she stood back and said, "Daddy, you smell bad." She said, "Daddy, you smell like cigarettes." She said, "You smell like beer." And he had to set his little girl down and explain that he just got done teaching a Bible study around a kitchen table where the cigarette smoke was so thick that he had to use the chart to wave it out. And everybody there was drinking beer and drinking wine and even offered him some wine while he's teaching them a Bible study. I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a garden that needs to be tended to. When you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, you got the bread of life, and you'll never hunger again Bread was the most important part of the meal back in the day. When we go to a restaurant, we generally focus on the kind of entree we're going to eat, wings, a cheeseburger, steak. Amen, yeah. But tonight's Mexican, so no Applebee's or Chili's or Texas Roadhouse. But on some restaurants, you go to like Olive Garden or Texas Roadhouse or Johnny Carino's or Red Lobster, you get bread first. Amen. In Bible days, meat was simply a side dish. And bread represented the major part of the meal. When Jesus says that he is the bread of life, he's saying that he's the most important part of life. Everyone had access to bread. Poor people used barley to make bread, while the wealthier used wheat. But most everyone had the means to make or buy bread. Jesus is saying that he is available to everyone. Bread was the means of fellowship. In that culture, when you broke bread with someone, you were friends for life. Jesus likewise offers a friendship with us that will never end. He's closer than any brother. He's closer to them at the mention of his name. There was a preacher that said, our pastor quotes it all the time. There was a preacher that said, the greatest smell in church is the smell of cigarettes and alcohol. Cigarettes and alcohol. Now, that might be weird to you, but it means something. It means that your church is doing something right. It means that your church is on the move. And that there is the bread of life there in its dwelling. We're in the garden today, church, but we're starving. We feel like all hope is gone. Our finances are so high and that we can't even pay off our debt. Our marriages are rocky, but the Lord is the bread of life, and he can bring us peace and comfort. If God is dwelling in your life, there is no room for starvation. The world is in the garden, but is starving. We've got the bread of life inside of us. The word of God can feed someone's soul. Our mission is souls, and we need to win souls for the kingdom. I don't want my neighbor in hell. I don't want my coworker to go to hell. Be the soul winner for your church. Be that example. God doesn't care about your fancy car or your beautiful home. He cares about souls. This world is starving. This world needs the garden that gives forth everlasting life. If we have 130 people win just at least one soul once a month, we would have a 1,560 soul revival. If we just get that mindset just to reach our coworker or reach our neighbor, we can win 1,560 souls in this community. Nothing matters more to God than souls. In Matthew 16 and 26, Jesus asked the question, "For what is it a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" With that one short, piercing question, Jesus Christ reveals to us that the worth of a single soul to God, one soul is worth more than all of this world. You can stack up one side of a scale with all the combined wealth of this world, all the gold, the jewels, the silver, and all of its precious stones. You can add magnificent homes and luxury automobiles, yachts, and airplanes. But if you put that other soul, that lost soul on the other side of that scale, it will tip, because God cares more about that one soul that repenteth, that you save. It will tip. In God's economy, that one soul is going to tip the scale every time, because one soul matters to God more than all of this world. We've got this bread of life, church, and the whole world is starving. Some of us have lost that garden lifestyle because it's easier for us to call our friend than it is to pray. I get fed by the master, not my friends. Your friends may say things that will leave you feeling empty or starving, but God will always feed you. You will always leave in prayer fed, uplifted, full of love, knowing everything is going to be all right because he has all power and authority. He still is the I am today, church. He still is the one that hung the moon and the stars. He will satisfy your hunger and your thirst. And as the musicians come quickly, as I'm coming to a close, if we could all stand. The Lord doesn't want you to leave here starving. He doesn't want you to be broken down. The Lord wants you fed. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to shine about you. They can play this song softly. These altars are open. The Lord is here with his arms stretched wide. No more hunger, but satisfied with his presence. The Lord did not call us to bury this thing under a chair, a church chair, or at an altar. He didn't call us to bury this thing in our four walls of the church building. But our master left us with the clear instructions. I want you to go. I want you to tell, and I want you to preach. And I want you to take what I've got invested into you, and I expect you to invest it into those that are around you. Because when I get back, I expect to see a row full of disciples sitting right next to you. We are committing to the things that got us here. We're not letting those things go, but we are not going to be so focused on what, not losing what the Master gave us, that we missed what the Master has called us to do. So would you close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord? And would you commit yourself to the mission of our Master?